The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Happy Election Day, or at least the Election Day on the calendar. It may be, what, another week before you know the actual full count. But maybe we get a really good idea on where things are going tonight. And hopefully it's not one of those situations where additional ballots end up being formed to fill in the gap, you know, given the fact that we're not supposed to be too tough on those postmark thingies. We'll see about that. But anyway, welcome to the show. It's Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday is a time in which you can check in here and share a concern, or you can also share a pearl of positivity if you wish to. But generally speaking, in the current world condition, most people are sharing the pebbles in the shoe, as it were. Pebble in my personal shoe has nothing to do with politics right now. It has to do with what to do with a dying family friend, and that is my dog. Not my dog, my cat Chester. We have two cats, Chester and Matt. They're both 14 years old. Matt's a Maine Coon. He seems to be perfectly happy. He does nothing. I think that's why. He is like the traditional cat, and Chester has a little bit of Belgian in him, I think, or whatever it is. There's that really active, bizarre cat, or Bengal. I think that's the cat. There are a couple of feral cats from Del Norte County, where we ended up getting them 14 years ago, and in spite of all the work that we have been doing with him for probably the last 5 or 6 months, he's continuing to lose weight, and yet the vet says there's technically nothing wrong with him, but he eats and eats and eats and continues to lose weight. We've gone grain-free. We have tried practically everything that, I mean, I can't tell you how. Okay, well, maybe if we put a little heating pad in his bed and we'll try this, and then he continues to lose weight. And so we're kind of getting to the point where we're trying to just keep him comfortable as Mother Nature takes its course. We don't think he's going to be with us a whole lot longer. Of course, we said that maybe 2-3 months ago, and yet here he is still today. And the challenge that we have is that Linda and I are practically sleeping in shifts now because of this, because he has to be fed about every 3 to 4 hours, and he just goes frantic if you don't feed him. And so you feed him, and he eats for a little bit, and then he calms down for a little bit, and then 3-4 hours, his thyroid's okay, everything else is all right, they did the blood work, and yet it just appears that his digestive system is shutting down and just not doing that well. And the entire house right now runs around what used to be a 13-pound cat. We're thinking he's more like about a 5 or 6-pound cat now, and where to go? So I say that not that I expect you to have any kind of solutions to it, because I don't think there are any, but that's the pebble in my shoe this morning. And I know that many other people would just say, put him down. I know that's where most people would say, and we just don't have the heart to do it. I always joke about it. It's like, okay, sleepy shot time. And then I just cannot do it. And I don't know if they've ever gone through something like that. Because he's not in pain, he's just being a pain. Isn't that weird? He's not in pain. It's obvious he's not in pain. He's not necessarily feeling good, but he's just extols in being a pain. You close the door so you can try to get some sleep. He scratches on the door. You open up the door, then he steps on your face. You know, it's just kind of like it never ends. So that's the pebble in my shoe. I don't think there's anything that could be done about that. But so I've shared my pebble. And now we'll get back to the other pebbles. 770-5633. You know, this is, speaking of, you know, I know, like I said, what to do with Chester the cat. And there's times like this morning, I was telling Linda, I think this is nuts. Maybe we should just give him the sleepy shot, you know, take him to the vet and speed on Mother Nature. But there is a trend that we're starting to notice now in which the medical system is really big on wanting to give the sleepy shot to humans much more quickly than it might otherwise be. There's a study I was reading here, and it's a fascinating article in foxnews.com. Now, I know, how am I going to tie, you know, what was happening with Chester, my dying cat, with with these studies. Well, here it is. Many patients who died after traumatic brain injuries may have survived and recovered if their families had waited to take them off life support. This is according to a new study, and it was researchers at Massachusetts General Hospital and Harvard Medical School and other universities. They analyzed potential clinical outcomes for patients with traumatic brain injury. You know, people get their skull wrung, whatever, you know, all the sorts of things. They get in car wrecks, whatever. And they were removed from life support. And this was a big study, too. This was about 1,400 patients, and they were treated in 18 trauma centers all across the country, and they studied this over 7.5 years. And they ended up looking at the data, and they crunched it through a math model, and the researchers compared patients for whom life support was withdrawn to similar patients who were kept on life support. Now, among the group for which life support was not withdrawn, in other words, people kept them on the life support, more than 40%, in fact, almost half, recovered at least some independence. So they recovered somewhat, maybe not completely, but enough that they were able to live a pretty decent life. And then the conclusion is that many patients who died after traumatic brain injuries may have survived if the families had just been a little more patient. The same researchers also discovered that the notion of remaining in a vegetative state was an unlikely outcome 6 months after the injury. And when they were putting this study together, they didn't exactly know what to expect, according to Yelena Bodine, who is the study's author. She's a doctor of the Department of Neurology Center for Neurotechnology. Our anecdotal experience was that some families are told by doctors that their loved ones had no chance for recovery. They would never walk, talk, or work, or have any meaningful relationship again. Yet they chose not to discontinue life support, and their loved one made a remarkable recovery. In fact, almost half. On the other hand, now see, this is the part of the study which is, this is like, you know, the key. On the other hand, clinicians are under a lot of pressure to make early prognoses, and they don't want to commit someone to a life that would never be acceptable to them. So it could be that those patients who died after life support was withdrawn would have had very significant impairments otherwise. So what they're claiming in the study is that the doctors are much more eager to do the sleepy shot, so to speak, pull the plug. That kind of thing. I thought that was really interesting. That, and I can't help but think as we get more and more into this centralized healthcare system, One Health, Bernie Care, Obamacare, whatever you want to call it, it still means, single payer is where they're pushing this here. And you get to the point where you have the single payer and what does the hospital or what do the doctors want to do? Okay, this person's going to be a vegetable. We think that there's no hope for them. And so we pull the plug. And besides, we're kind of crowded. We're overcrowded right now. And let's get another bed open. And let's go to someone who we think will have a better prognosis. I couldn't help but think about, many other accident victims I've known over the years, which the family said that within a day or two, they said, okay, pull the plug. You wonder how many people might have been saved by this, but it's a really interesting, important study, and it's on Fox News. And just look for the title, Many Families Take Patients Off Life Support Too Soon After Traumatic Brain Injuries, that almost half of them would recover if given a little more time, and it could take sometimes several months for this to happen. Medical system doesn't want to do that, could be expensive. Yeah, and insurance companies, I'm sure, were like saying, couldn't you just do the sleepy shot? Yeah. And as we turn more and more control of our medical system over to the bean counters instead of, doctors, the doctors are under pressure, move things along, you think it's going to work? We're not going to work? Oh, no, they're suffering. Well, they have all sorts of amazing stories of people that they thought were gone that were well aware of what was going on around them, even though they were unconscious and not able to indicate it. And then they ended up making a recovery. I just thought that was really interesting. So what does that have to do with a dying cat of mine? Nothing other than the fact that, yeah, we joke about the sleepy shot, but we still we're not doing it yet. We also know that Chester at 14 is probably not going to be coming back, and our buddy's taken off slowly but surely. It's 21 after 6, Election Day, Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Happy to take your call. It's 770-563-3770-KMED. So just remember, you have anybody in the hospital, something like that, be a little patient. Give it a little bit of time if you can certainly encourage the doctors, okay? Just saying. About half of them would really come back.
As the Montana roofing crews travel around Southern Oregon, they like to keep things interesting.
You know, we've been doing so many roofs around the valley, there's not many areas where we don't see our past work.
Ooh, like that one.
Yep, the whole metal package. Roof, siding, flashing, gutters.
Tile job.
Oh yeah, that's a beauty. Luxury home on the hill with tile and copper accents.
Shake.
That traditional barn looks great with that fading shake roof. That one was tricky.
I'm up like three zip.
Oh wait, I didn't know this was a competition.
Composite. Jinx. Maybe we should just Rochambeau for that one.
Rochambeau? I'm driving. A tie goes to the driver.
Okay, well, I'll give you that one. Metal, you're kidding. Destroyed. 4-1.
Oh, this isn't fair. I got to keep my eyes on the road, and I can't look around and see what else is going on.
While the Fontana Roofing Crew has fun on the way, they're all business when they arrive at your job site. Visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford, nowiresnow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided. By Dish.
As the Montana roofing crews travel around Southern Oregon, they like to keep things interesting.
You know, we've been doing so many roofs around the valley, there's not many areas where we don't see our past work.
Ooh, like that one.
Yep, the whole metal package. Roof, siding, flashing, gutters.
Tile job.
Oh yeah, that's a beauty. Luxury home on the hill with tile and copper accents.
Shake.
That traditional barn looks great with that fading shake roof. That one was tricky.
I'm up like three zip.
Oh, wait, I didn't know this was a competition. Composite.
Jinx. Maybe we should just Rochambeau for that one.
Rochambeau? I'm driving. A tie goes to the driver.
Okay, well, I'll give you that one. Metal, you're kidding. Destroyed. 4-1.
Oh, this isn't fair. I got to keep my eyes on the road, and I can't look around and see what else is going on.
While the Fontana roofing crew has fun on the way, they're all business when they arrive at your job site. Visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
This is Bill Meyer, and the savings keep coming from Sky Park Insurance. Here's Kurt from Grants Pass.
The quote from my previous insurer to add a third vehicle seemed high, so I called Steve, and now I'm saving $114 per month with a third vehicle. Same coverage. Unbelievable. Thanks, Steve.
Sky Park is your independent agency with providers like Progressive, Safeco, Foremost, and many more. Call Steve for a quote, 261-5444, or visit skyparkins.com.
At Sky Park, we make insurance easy.
Hi, I'm Charlene, owner of American Industrial Door, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
Let's see, at last count, 22%. Ballot return in the elections yesterday in Jackson County. I think Joe County was maybe 24, maybe a percent or two. We'll see where this goes. And if you have yet to have done this, unbelievable how many conservatives I've talked to. You know, people out there in the regular world, doctors, dentists' offices when I've gone in there and things like that. And we find out that I don't even know where my ballot is. Get your ballot and get the vote in. Stop these charter changes. Okay, come on. If you do nothing else, vote no on all of them in Jackson and Josephine County. Okay? If nothing else. Sometimes I wonder if conservatives just don't realize, you know, how much is at stake with this. You know, they get so involved in their work day or their family life or whatever it is. And yet at the same time, there are people scheming behind the scenes to grab power. And they're pretty darn smart about grabbing power, too. The right wing, yeah, not so much. We're thinking, well, they're grabbing power, but I'm sure they're fair people. No, they're not. Okay, so just stop it. Please stop it. Please just thinking that that your morals and ethical concerns are the ethical concerns of those that are wanting to completely turn your county governments upside down for their own political purposes. Okay? All right. But it is Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday, 770-5633. Let me go to Willow. Willow, how are you? What's on your mind?
I am good. Good morning, Bill. About your cat. My cat is 16.
Uh-huh.
If I were having those problems, I would give him a choice when I feed him of, in Safeway, they have these frisky cat foods, and they're called shreds.
Yeah.
They're largely gravy. They're more gravy than they are pate.
Yeah.
And there's a blue-colored one that is called whitefish and salmon. And I would put one of those open cans before him or put it in a dish for him. And I also would offer raw meat, which is in Safeway at the very, if you walk all the way to the back of the Safeway and then go to the right, at the far right, there are these thin-cut raw steaks that are 30% off.
Yeah. You know, I just want to let you know here, Willow, Chester's appetite is insane. He eats fine. It's like whatever he does eat does not seem to take for whatever reason. And I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but Chester has always had pica. And
what is pica?
Well, pica is a cat that just insatiably chews up stuff. And in this case, he liked plastic, right? And he would chew plastic. He would chew and swallow insulation, like fiberglass insulation if we got a hold of it. We've had a completely proof, you know, cat-proof the house, or Chester-proof the house is what we called ever since we've had him. But the problem is that our theory, and the vet even thought so, is a pretty good thing, is that he's done damage to his digestive system from years of, even though we would try to keep the garbage out from him eating it, he would still, if there was a plastic bag or something, boy, he'd chew it up, grind it up. And that's, we're thinking that's one of the problems we're dealing with. That's why his brother, who has had the exact same food, does not seem to have the problem, because Matt doesn't eat up everything. But yeah, I appreciate it. We don't have any trouble getting him to eat. It's just that he wants to eat constantly, but it's just not nourishing him for whatever. I appreciate the call, though. Thanks for that. Let me go to Jake. Hey, Jake, it's on your mind. Everybody wants to talk about the cat, I guess, but go ahead. Let's hear it. Hey, Jake.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jake, you wanted to weigh in on that, too. Go ahead.
That sounds like your cat maybe needs a little Roto-Rooter. Might be a plastic bag stuck there or something.
You know, you're going to laugh when I tell you this story about Chester here, Jake. One time he got into some old... Do you remember the old reel-to-reel tape recorders that we used to have years ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ball and sack.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he got into some vintage tapes that I had stored one time in Jacksonville when he was a kitten. And he... ate the reel-to-reel tape, and he'd sucked it out. And then one day, Linda, you know, noticed that Chester was walking kind of funny, and she looked at his behind, and there was a little bit of this stuff sticking out. So she grabbed a tissue and grabbed it and pulled out about a foot of reel-to-reel tape that he had swallowed, and it was coming out the other end. So, you know, that...
How much tape was missing from the roll?
About a foot or two, yeah. You know, that's what was going on. But, and you should have seen the look on his face as that tape was being pulled out. I'm sure it was playing some music or whatever had been recorded on the tape, you know, when we pulled it out of there. Yeah. But you were suggesting what, that Dogavita thing or what's that?
It's carnivita.com. Somebody will call in because they've heard it on the.
The nutritional things they advertise on the radio here.
They put it on his eye, and the dog, they were going to take his eye out, and the dog's fine.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll try that. Let me go to Tom. Hey, Tom. And by the way, thanks, Jake. Good morning, Tom.
Oh, good morning, Bill. I'm going to go to my pebble first. The pebble I have is the Rogue Valley Times. Choosing not to publish any discussion of the commissioner's proposals and so forth that's going on, the ballot measures. They shut it down for almost the whole time. Now, I think last week they opened it up, but, it's the cow's out of the barn already.
How interesting that they can have, all the climate change stuff, no problem, as long as you're pro-climate change and shutting down Western civilization. But you're not going to talk about on the paper one of the biggest political power grabs that has ever been done here in Jackson and Josephine County? Really?
Yeah, it's exactly right. And I just sent him a letter in the mail chastising. I didn't, you know, this kind of arrogance. I see the primary problem being arrogance on their part, where they assume that they're much smarter than the rest of us out here, and they know mm-hmm. they know everything about everything, and therefore they've assigned themselves the role of being the arbiters of truth. We can't tolerate that. I mean,
well, I have to tell arrogance. You, if the Rogue Valley Times is going to run the place that way, they're going to fail like the Mail Tribune did in the end.
That's what I said in my letter to him. I said, mm-hmm. we need a local paper. Don't let your arrogance kill your paper. And but, you know, they hired the same. There's Robert Gavin and so forth, who's editor-in-chief. And I think maybe he may be the one that's monitoring everything like Gary used to at the Rogue Valley, at the Medford
Mail
Communist
Tribune.
Mail Tribune.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really... the idea that they could shut down discussion. It's like they have no comprehension of what the First Amendment is about, which is what Jefferson said, is that you allow all this disruptive back and forth of truth and contentions and so forth. But his essential point was, after a time, the truth would rise to the surface, and people could finally, after hearing all these different sides, could really have a much better chance arriving at the truth. But
well, I don't know. I don't know if you can call it a First Amendment issue, though, because remember, it is Congress shall make no law. It's really about government restricting speech.
Right.
And the Rogue Valley Times is a private business. You would think that they would at least want to have some discussion on issues of the day that would be of importance to its readers and have some back and forth on that. I could see why they wouldn't want to necessarily go full bore on it, because, you know, they have to keep control of it, too. So I'm guarded on that First Amendment claim.
Well, you're speaking from a legal point of view, and you're correct in that, legally, they own the paper, and they do any damn thing they want with it. But
mm-hmm.
If they don't allow a reasonable amount of discussion on issues like that, they're going to kill the paper. And I don't know, maybe they're so arrogant they just can't see what they're doing to themselves. But it's a suicidal course that they're on.
And, yeah. All right. Well, it could be that that is their thing. And so much of the news that is put in the papers these days seems to be pretty thin gruel, designed to be almost non-controversial. And maybe they're just trying to stay out of it. That's not going to help them, though, because it makes it non-interesting if it's all going to be mommy and me and here's the latest nonprofit racket that's opening up its latest outpost in Medford or Ashland, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, they're treating us like children. You know, they're too damn stupid and ignorant to know what the right decision is. So they assume the role of parent, and they're going to control everything.
Okay, well, go. Now, I'm running out of time here on this segment here, so what's the other part of it? Go ahead.
Well, the other part with Chester is that getting some digestive enzymes and sprinkling on his food. That's what the other caller was suggesting, too. He was talking about, I think, carnivora, and there's a few other digestive. But look at it. In Chinese and Ayurvedic medicine, the first thing when someone has a systemic problem, the first thing they do is say, we got to fix the digestive system. Mm. So.
Okay, you're thinking digestive enzymes would be a help. Maybe we'll give that a shot. We'll give that a shot and see if we can find some. Thank you very much for the call, Tom. And let me grab line 4. Hi, KMED, KCMD. Who's this? Hello?
Hello. Hello.
Hi.
Is this me?
Yes, it is.
Hi,
Cherry. Hi, Cherry.
Well, I feel for your kitty cat. I have two, and I love them, and it's very difficult. Just... do what everybody says. It sounds good, but I didn't call for that.
Okay.
And I am so sorry for your baby. But I saw a movie yesterday. It was about a year old. It's called Paradise Highway. And it was such a good movie with Morgan Freeman and Juliette Binoche. And I was shocked at how good it was, except one thing. Where's the lighting guy?
Where's the what?
Lighting guy. Everything is so dark. It's like movie, and then dark.
I have to tell you, though, Cherry, that is a very common complaint right now with movies in which, A, the sound is very muddled, right? And the dialogue gets buried into tons of music and sound effects and things where people have difficulty. And it's not a hearing aid problem. It's just they literally mix it that way. And also, everybody trying to make everything moody by making it incredibly dark, and you can't see it. You're not the only person complaining about it. This is a big trend. It actually is.
Wow.
Yeah.
It is bad. It is so bad that it's comical. So he shut all the blinds, turned off all the lights,
yeah,
turned off everything, and I'm going, where's the light, guys?
Thanks for sharing your pebble. You're not the first one to note that. In fact, I was on some movie blogs a while back, a few months ago, reading an article in which that was exactly the complaint. You can't see anything, so what's the point? You have this this moody, deep, dark thriller, but it's so deep and dark that you can't tell anything about it. Point well taken. Good pebble in your shoe, okay? This is the Bill Myers Show. Hey, we'll have some more open phone time probably in about 10, 15 minutes or so. We're going to do a little bit of political conversation here in just a bit with John O'Connor, Deep Throat's lawyer. Remember, we talked with him before, and we're going to catch up a bit on the Trump trial, and then we'll have some more open phone time, okay? All right.
When the IRS comes knocking, the news can be shocking. Tell them you've hired a CPA tax expert at First Response Resolution, located in Eagle Point. Leave speaking with the IRS to Zach. He'll defend your rights as a taxpayer. Visit FirstResponseIRS.com today for a free consultation.
News sponsored by Caveman Heating and Air. It's the climate, and we control it. Call Caveman Heating and Air at 541-476-0009 or cavemanheating.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. Fireworks at former President Trump's New York trial. Things got heated yesterday as defense witness Robert Costello testified. He's due back on the stand this morning. Crews are scrambling to restore power to well over 140,000 utility customers in Houston as temperatures soar and the air conditioning is out. More than a half dozen deaths blamed on last week's violent storms. Parts of the plains as well as the Midwest could see severe weather today. Although there is still debris to be cleared, now that that huge cargo ship has been moved out of the way, cruise ship operators plan to resume operations out of the port of Baltimore as early as this weekend. The White House defending its decision to extend official U.S. government condolences to Iran over the death of the Islamic Republic's president in a helicopter crash. More details, SRNNews.com.
Hi, I'm Charlie Moon. I've been in the trading game for almost 20 years, and I just discovered the most powerful trading tool I've ever seen. So if you're trading stocks or options, then listen up. This new AI-powered trade finder can find you stocks to consider trading, which have had gains as high as 1,729% and have had nearly perfect win rates. It analyzes the entire stock market in seconds and pumps out a list of trades for you to consider every single morning. And the trades it finds can be potentially profitable regardless of which direction the market is moving. So if you want in on this action, listen closely. For a short amount of time, I'm opening up free access to some of these picks and giving you the chance to get top trade ideas from the AI Trade Finder every day for 100% free. Just text TRADE to 76626. Stop trying to find the right stocks to trade on your own. Just text TRADE to 76626 now and get access to the top trades our AI finds every single day. Text TRADE to 76626. Standard text and data rates may apply. Past performance is not indicative of future results.
An intelligent solution is influenced by timing. This is Randall at Advanced Air. It is rebate season for Bryant cooling products. Don't swelter in extreme heat. Now is the time to replace your heat pump or air conditioner. Advanced Air and Bryant do whatever it takes to keep you comfortable all summer long. That means uninterrupted air conditioning throughout the hottest days of summer. Call Advanced Air for intelligent heating and cooling solutions. Online at myadvancedair.com.
Safe with factory rebates on high-efficiency air conditioners. Visit myadvancedair.com.
Here's Lisa with Kelly's Automotive Service for just-in-time appliance.
Recently, a small part went out on our dryer at home. My husband ordered the inexpensive part to fix it. 3 months and several wrong parts later, he agreed to call Just-in-Time Appliance and Repair. A couple days later, I had a working dryer. Just-in-Time Appliance have always taken great care of all of our appliances with honest service and fair prices. Don't wait. Just call Just-in-Time Appliance and Repair.
Just-in-Time Appliance. Online at justintimeappliance.com.
Stay updated on recreational opportunities all over our region with the Outdoor Report every Friday morning just past 7 a.m. on the Bill Myers Show. The Outdoor Report on KMED and KCMD is powered by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, your department of adventure off Vilas Road on Airway Drive.
Make my day, pal. I'll even do it twice. So let's pick the dates, Donald. I hear you're free on Wednesdays.
Meanwhile, in New York...
This trial is a scam, and it's a sham, and it shouldn't happen.
With the prosecution being exposed.
I don't think I've ever seen a star cooperating witness get his knees chopped out quite as clearly.
Can Trump expect better treatment in the debates?
I believe it is a setup. If he fails, they have enough time to prop up a new puppet.
Talk about it here.
This is a Biden trial. This all comes out of the White House.
On News Talk 106.3 KMED.
The Bill Myers Show. 106.3 KMED. 99.3 KCMD.
641. Hey, we were going to talk a little bit of Trump trial news, except John Connor just had a family problem. Just talked to him, so we're going to reschedule and probably bring him in tomorrow because there's still going to be more Trump trial. We'll get him on tomorrow's show, and sometimes that happens. And you know, you call up and say, "Oh man, we just had this, and the time. Can we do it tomorrow?" I said, "Sure." John is worth it, and he's of course a former trial lawyer, and he was Deep Throat's lawyer too. And he also a big prosecutor down in the Bay Area. He was a prosecutor down in the Bay Area back when prosecutors in the Bay Area actually meant something and actually prosecuted people and put them in jail for doing crimes, you know, simple things like that. But we'll get him on tomorrow. Should be a good talk. All right. Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. I noticed here there was a news release that came out. KOBI5 ended up bringing this up. Jackson County Sheriff's Office is focusing on seatbelt enforcement for the next 2 weeks. This is according to their Facebook post. The Sheriff's Office and other local law enforcement agencies are using federally funded overtime to educate the public about safety belt and child seat laws. So in other words, the federal government using our tax money that we pay, along with the extra tax money that they print and create out of nothing, to then come and pull more of us over. Is that a good use of federal taxpayer money? Because is there anyone within the sound of my voice that needs to be educated about safety belt and child seat laws? Does anybody need educated about it? What this really means is that you're going to be ticketed, is what it means. This is how we're going to educate you. We're going to ticket you and fine you. Isn't that really what they mean? I just wish that the news releases were just a little more honest about it. Yes, we have some money coming into the sheriff's department, so we have tons of overtime so we can have people write more tickets. You would think that maybe there would be enough of a cut that they'd be able to just write more tickets without needing federal funding for the overtime. But I guess I'll have to talk to the sheriff about that. You know, how does that actually work these days? Is anybody, yeah, we want to educate you. Yeah, it's like the Internal Revenue Service wanting to educate you about the tax laws when you're audited. You know, that kind of thing. And, of course, if you are of modest means, you're more likely to be audited than if you're really, really super wealthy, because the super, super wealthy have lots of tax lawyers. And then the IRS says, you know, that's way too much work. So we go to someone who is just a regular middle-class schmo and go after him or her. All right, so that's a pebble in my shoe. Federal tax money going to write more tickets. You know, that's that whole thing you would hear, click it, boom, or ticket. No one gets away with it. Okay, 770-5633. Since it is Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday, I go to your phones. Let's go to line one. Hello, KMED, KCMD. It's Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Who's this?
Hey, this is Mary.
Hey, Mary.
I have two things to say. The first thing is, Denise Krause had run for supervisor once before. Then she got on the bus thing, and now she's changed this whole thing to create a job for herself, and she's running for commissioner with these new seats. The whole thing is an anathema. It's just a power grab, and it's unfortunate that our local paper wouldn't let any letters to the editor explain this to people. So it's a follow-up to what the gentleman said earlier, where I just sent a letter to them on Friday and canceled my subscription. The payment had come in again, mm-hmm. and I wrote a letter just saying how this was the first time in my life, long life, I have not had a local newspaper, and it was for that one reason and one reason only. When they came out with this edict about 6 weeks ago and said, okay, that we're not taking any letters to the editor about this commissioner thing. And so we were subjected to Alan Durrett for the last 6 weeks and his crazy things he says about climate change.
Oh, I know, you're right. It's like Alan Durrett might as well be a paid spokesperson. Yeah, might as well be the editor. Yeah, you know, anything that he, you know, plops out of his cloaca when it comes to climate change, carbon,
right,
is printed
right.
like the gospel's true, gospel truth
right.
there, right? Rather than
right.
the theory that it is.
So I'm just so sad that I had to do that because I like to know what's going on in the paper, but the paper is a bunch of high school sports, no controversy, no letters to the editor. My first letter to the editor was when I was 16 down in San Francisco, and I've done it my whole life. Sometimes I get published, sometimes I don't, but it was a great... it was a great pulpit for me to just say my opinions and for them to say, to have the nerve to come in this community and say, we know better and we're not going to let you talk about this. It was just horrible. So, you know, I hope a lot of people are like the other guy and he wrote a letter and people like me where I just canceled. And I have to say one other thing. I always used to read Robert Galvin and I noticed he said he and his beloved listened to a morning radio show locally. So I assume they're listening to you because you're the only game in town.
Nah, I would figure if they're left of center, it's probably JPR. It's probably JPR.
No, because it's at a radio talk show.
Okay.
So, and that's like news.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you know the thing that... you know, that goes on here with this. It may be about the changing face of news, too, Mary, just so you know. I was talking with my boss about this, my boss, George, the other day, and we were having this conversation of what is news, and it appears that what's happening with a lot of local news these days are the news stations, whether it's television, whether it's a newspaper, whether it's blogs. Everything seems to be programmed around almost social media engagement, which is why they'll make this emphasis on high school sports, right? High school sports, relatively easy to cover. It's not necessarily controversial. It's just like rah, rah, sis, boom, bah, team, you know, all this kind of stuff. Until you get to the point where you have fake women beating all the girls, which is what... and then we're not allowed to talk about that, too, I would imagine, in the paper.
Right.
But Representative Dwayne Junker will be talking with me about that later in the show, okay?
Anyway.
But that being said, though, they go for it's the soft stuff and the real news, the stuff which is could be controversial, is difficult. You have to have good writers working for you in order to do that. And you also have to have time and budget to be able to develop a story. And that's probably in short supply these days in the newspaper
world.
You know?
Well, listen, thank you, Bill, for what you do. And also, good luck with Chester. I'll tell my cat, Sammy, to say a little prayer for him.
Okay. Yeah, I can't wait to see a little picture of his little paws together. Okay?
Oh.
All right.
Okay, thanks, Bill.
Thank you,
Bye-bye.
Mary. 770-563-3770-KMED. Hey, you know, I was talking about this. And by the way, if you're on hold, I'll get to your call in just a moment. I was talking with about Chester. Chester, of course, seems to be dying. He's been losing weight now for several months. And he eats voraciously. The vet says he's fine. Blood work is fine. No diabetes, no, thyroid issues, nothing like that. The digestive system is not working well. So we went with grain-free food, and then we went with this, and then we went there. So we put the probiotics on the food, and then we put the vitamin B12 on the food, and all this stuff. Nothing seems to be working, and we're just thinking that this is just his natural life cycle, and he's just slowing down. And so... he's continuing to lose weight, and he just drives us crazy because he has to be fed like a baby every 3 or 4 hours or he goes nuts and scratches on the doors, and nobody's getting any sleep in our house. I come to the radio station and sleep on the new couch here to get some sleep. That's what I did this morning. But so that's where we are. And maybe Chester has turned into this woman, and maybe I shouldn't have to feed him at all because I'm looking at this story in the Tribune.com. Woman claims to have gone 16 years without eating or drinking. An Ethiopian woman has claimed that she has never eaten nor drunk a glass of water in the past 16 years, describing her condition as a work of God. She remains a medical enigma, with numerous healthcare professionals unable to provide an explanation. This is according to the Daily Star. Mulu Work Ambwa said that even doctors from India, Qatar, and Dubai have medically checked her out, but none have been able to explain her bizarre situation. For almost 3 years now, she's been checked by doctors and declared perfectly healthy, but the scans showed no food, no water, or no waste in her digestive tract. She stopped eating and drinking when she was 10 years old, suddenly losing the need for food and water. She still remembers the last thing she ate was a red lentil stew. So for years, she's not been eating. The doctors say she's perfectly healthy. You know what Alan Jurnee and the gang Greens would call her? They would call her the sustainable human population. The ones that don't eat or drink. Oh, that story's probably a scam. I don't know. You know, unless there is some godly miracle, in which case that God bless her, you know, on that one. Now, let me go to the next line on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Hello, line three. Who's this? Good morning.
This is Minor Dave.
Hello, Dave. Make my day.
Yeah, your cat. I had a friend that had a dog. He was a Vietnam vet, and his dog was dying. And I talked him out of putting it to sleep. And he said the last month he got to say goodbye to her. So just remember that. Don't put your animal. We're not God. God will take her in, him or her in her own time.
Yeah, well, I know that if Chester was truly in pain and could be in pain, I would feel differently about that. I think we have a duty, especially when we... I mean, let's be honest, Dave. The dogs and cats that we have... because we have domesticated them and we have them as pets and companions now, you know, that sort of thing is, they live a lot longer than they would live in nature under the same situation. Let's be honest. Yeah, if Chester had been a feral cat living, well, he was a feral cat or came from a feral cat, but if Chester were living out in the wild right now and had been living out in the wild, he probably would have been snapped up about a year ago when he first started, slowing down when he first started, aging, and he wouldn't have made it. Mother Nature, of course, very cruel, and will get what Mother Nature is due. And I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that if a dog or cat is in pain, I think we have a duty to help relieve suffering, don't you?
I think that it's God's choice to, when they take him. I had a cat for 20 years, mm-hmm. and we lived in the wilderness for most of that. And she just one day wandered off and didn't come back. And I found her under her favorite tree, just in a curled up in a ball.
Yeah.
And she died. And I think she went the way she wanted to go. And, you know, it's hard when you lose a pet. Or a dog, because I've lost both. But, it, you know, I look at it as I'm not God. It's not for me to decide.
All right. I appreciate that. Thanks for the call there, Minor Dave. 770-5633, 770-KMED. Got some emails of the day coming up here, and I need to share. I got an email yesterday from Senator Brian Boquist. You know, he's also running for state treasurer. I talked with him last week. And he had an interesting take on my fentanyl test guest yesterday. That and a bunch of other things we'll have coming up. But it is open phones for the next half hour or so, 770-5633. Anything on your mind, today is the day to get to it on The Bill Myers Show.
1063 KMED, 99.3 KCMD. And this is The Bill Myers Show.
7:04, appreciate you being here on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday, 770-5633, 770-KMED. State Senator Brian Boquist wrote me last night, and I was enjoying reading and catching up with him. He is, like I said, one different kind of cat, and he wrote me about this whole situation, and I had a guest on yesterday, and let me just share it here, okay? Emails of the day, and it's sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson. Central Point Family Dentistry is where you'll find Dr. Steve Nelson. Great people at Central Point Family Dentistry. It's on Freeman Way, right next door to the Mazatlan Mexican restaurant. And Freeman Way is over by the Albertsons, you know, in that neighborhood, you know, that kind of thing in Central Point. CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. And they have a dental plan if you don't have dental insurance, which actually works a lot like dental insurance, but has better benefits. Just ask them about that at CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. Get your appointment, okay? And Senator Boquist writes me, he says, Bill, listen to most of your show today. This is Monday. From way up north as following the Goodwin fraud. So far, the sheriff's deputies. Oh, this is interesting. So far, the sheriff's deputies have not been able to serve Goodwin at Bramblewood Lane in Canyonville. This is the claimed address. That's an interesting start off. I guess he's been trying to serve some legal papers to candidate Goodwin, State Representative Goodwin, at the winery property, you know, that sort of thing. You know, that just would not go away. That just never went away, no matter how hard she tried to make it go away. So anyway, I find this interesting that the sheriffs have not been able to serve her. Anyway, I continue here with us with Senator Boquist. Senator Boquist continues, your guest on drug use, and this was me talking with Jared Shepard, who is an entrepreneur who came up with a 5-minute dip test for fentanyl. Very sensitive, down to like one nanogram or something. It takes 5 minutes, and it's like $5 in bulk. So it's a pretty cheap test, as it were. But he said, your guest on drug use illustrates why the GOP, the Independent Party of Oregon, and the Constitution parties lose. The false belief in law and order. Senator Boquist says justice is completely political. Just because a nurse allegedly stole drugs from a hospital does not mean a DA or attorney general will prosecute. Both have complete discretion, for which politics, etc., play a key role. And would it negatively impact the hospital system, as an example? OSP and Salem police routinely watch crimes committed at the Capitol but do nothing unless it is a conservative. OSP's entire operations at the state capitol violate the law, even with a direct Oregon Supreme Court ruling in 2014 against the legislature. State v. Babson in 2014. It's simply ignored. OSP leadership wants the money for the legislative contract, thus the Constitution and the law do not matter. Democrats want the police power to block citizen and minority input. It's all a falsehood in Salem. This is coming from a sitting state senator, okay? Boquist continues, in elections, it is a crime to falsify government documents such as a driver's license, voter registration, and voting 5 to 6 times, as in the case of Goodwin, and of FAM in Washington County, and similar to Prozansky in Lane County. And yet, while it is obvious that enough evidence exists for warrants and charges, the fact remains that the AG, Secretary of State, 3 DAs, and 3 sheriffs have protected all 3 legislators. The Attorney General is spending tax dollars to defend Goodwin and Prozansky in civil proceedings while blocking civil and criminal complaints. If the AG risks public knowledge of this criminal connection, then why would anyone think that a common citizen complaint would ever be considered except if it is politically advantageous to the Attorney General or the Secretary of State? The use of public prosecutors in the judicial system is just as bad in Oregon than in New York, say against Trump, or in Georgia against the citizens claiming voter fraud in 2020. Even Oregon mainstream media runs stories that the AG and Secretary of State did not and do not investigate legislators. Also, for your information, the legislature passed changes sometime back in election law to protect themselves so they can lie. As an example, any candidate caught lying in campaign materials could be disqualified, except state legislators. That's interesting, Brian. Really? Hence, this is why FAM and Goodwin feel free to lie away, as most citizens have no money to hire a lawyer when the total penalty cannot exceed $2,500. In the Goodwin situation, the local sheriff is supporting her when he knows full well that there is a civil challenge based on violations of criminal law. Makes one think that the Law Enforcement Association has some serious problems. A slice of that law is below. Sincerely, Brian Boquist. Yeah, Brian Boquist, state senator. So he's been trying to serve Goodwin at the winery property. And so far, the sheriff's deputies have not been able to serve here. Interesting. Oh, well, it is election day. I guess all you have to do is just keep it going and keep it going and keep it going. And then we'll see, you know, what people have more faith in, I guess, Senator. I appreciate the take on that. Do you think he's right about that, though, when he says that really all justice is political? It's an interesting statement. I have considered that the Republicans and conservatives, I think we do or have been operating under at least a bunch of naivete about how the system is actually working right now. And I would even take this back to January 6th, when I knew people in Southern Oregon that were even talking on my show, we're going to go and we're going to go and we're going to show up and we're going to protest. And I said, this is a trap. You do realize this, right? Because, you know, I realized that the system is under control by your political enemies and you're going to be made an example of. So what I'm thinking right now, you could smell the Fed track from a trap from 2,000 miles away, whatever the case might be. And yet a lot of people did it. And then like dumb animals caught in a trap. Now look what's been going on. And so when you realize that the institutions are politicized and completely under the control of your enemy, what do you do next, I guess? Do you think Boquist is right about that? I mean, is it more than just January 6th? Is all justice, even here in Jackson and Josephine County, is it all politicized in your view? Maybe we can talk about that, too. I think it would be interesting on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday about Senator Boquist. He says all justice in the state of Oregon is politicized. What do you think?